A very warm welcome again, and thank you for joining us in this worship service. And today I will be sharing God's word, and it is taken from Psalm 23. And I can see that, well, Yushin is all prepared with his Bible opened, and that's very good. And that sets a good example to all of us, isn't it? So, in Psalm 23, we know that it is a psalm written by King David. But nevertheless, it is very applicable to each and every one of us. And I would like to start off our meditation of this psalm by the understanding of two important aspects. The first is the sheep analogy. And the second is the shepherd analogy. And why King David brought up this analogy of his relationship with God. First of all, the sheep analogy. Why the sheep? Let us have a little understanding of sheep. What is sheep? How do we describe them? There's a natural tendency to wander off and get lost. This fluffy, woolly animal. Natural tendency to wander off and get lost. And what happens when they get lost? They'll be attacked. And they are followers, even following blindly. They'll even kill themselves by drowning, by following other sheep, or falling off the cliffs by blindly following other sheep. And when they are lost in the wilderness, they have to confront one enemy after another. And you can imagine that the other predators and the other wild animals, like the lions, will think that this is good lunch or dinner. So this sheep will try to defend itself. But you know what? The sheep has poor eyesight. And the sheep do not hear well. And they can't camouflage. They have no weapons for defense. They have no sharp claws, no sharp hooves, no powerful jaws to bite back. But the sheep has one defense. The sheep can run. But you know what? The sheep is very slow. Easily frightened, even by rushing water. And the sheep can be easily confused. That's a description of the sheep. And what did the Bible say about sheep? We are like sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we are like sheep. And that is why King David used this analogy. Secondly, we can look at the analogy of the shepherd. What makes a good shepherd? The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd does not chase the sheep, but walks in front of the sheep. And the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. And the shepherd leads the sheep to a place of nourishment and in safety. And the shepherd would protect the sheep. That's a good shepherd. But however, shepherding is a dangerous job. The good shepherd might even die for the sheep in fighting wild beasts. The scriptures has this to say in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And of course, he was then referring to Goliath. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. So shepherding is a dangerous job. And a good shepherd will have to protect the sheep. And a good shepherd might even lay down his own life. Shepherding is a low-class job. Nobody really wants to be a shepherd. And at Christmas time, we remember, while shepherds watch their flock by night, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And we read there, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night." So a shepherd is a low-class job. And David was a shepherd boy. He was the least in the family. Even his father almost forgot about him when asked by the prophet Samuel. And we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. The youngest keepeth the sheep." Nobody else wants to do the job given to the youngest. Oh, it's just a very low-class job. It's just for the youngest, keeping the sheep. That is the analogy which King David would like to bring out. And we read the first verse of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. This Lord here, L-O-R-D, capital letters, all throughout. What does that mean? In the original text, it means the self-existent, eternal, almighty God. The Lord, Jehovah, the Latin version of the Hebrew Yahweh. And we were introduced to this God in scriptures in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Our God, almighty God. In Exodus 3, 14, it's about Moses meeting up with God in the burning bush. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." This is the Lord whom David referred to. Isaiah 40, 11. It's mentioned that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So this analogy of shepherd is not new. It is even in Isaiah's time. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." King David knew the Almighty God. He knew the Almighty God personally, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And David knew this God as his creator. And David could have described God as king, as God, as creator. It's true. But he chose to address Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping God, the God of Israel, as shepherd. And David knew what it takes to be a good shepherd, because he was a shepherd. He knew experientially what is required of a shepherd. So the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So King David used that reference, used that analogy, used that comparison. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Intimacy. He is the great shepherd of Israel's nation, we know. And we saw that in Isaiah 40, 11. But he is my shepherd. A very personal application. Is the great God Almighty your shepherd? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. He is your shepherd. He is David's shepherd. And not only did David say the Lord with the emphasis of my shepherd, David emphasized is. The Lord is my shepherd. Not was. The Lord is my shepherd. Continuously and ever shall be. And what does that make David? David is the sheep. So that is the relationship. David is the sheep. The Lord God Almighty is the shepherd. And David went on to say, I shall not want. This is an old English word, the old English word want. In the original text, it really means I shall not lack. I hope in Singapore we do not mistake it as the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want you. I shall not want. No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. I shall not lack anything. And this shall is a great emphasis of David here. It's sufficient provision by the shepherd. There's a sense of contentment. There's a sense of satisfaction. And the good shepherd knows what the sheep needs and provides for them. So that is a good shepherd. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the good shepherd because he said in John 10:11 just now that I am the good shepherd. So God provides for us. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not want. So Matthew 6:26 is very familiar to many of us. And here we read, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And that's why David mentioned, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 to 6. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, has this understanding of contentment. It is not that, God, I want all the branded goods in the world. I want a huge house. I want the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis, the cars. Nope, God says that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not that supposing that gain is godliness. Oh, this person is so rich, must be blessed by God, must be very holy. No, God says that as if gain is godliness. No, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. And in 1 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And telling it to the Apostle Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this grace is sufficient for Paul, is to do the will of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not lack any grace, any provision, any enablement of God to help me to live and to do his will. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what is that sense? It is, I shall not lack the power and the provision from God to live for him. That is what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack the power and the provision to live for God's glory. The next verse in Psalm 23, David wrote, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And David knew that when he was a shepherd and he saw his sheep was tired and he will search for green pastures. So the shepherd deliberately makes the sheep to lie down. And the shepherd knows that the sheep is tired. Does God know that you are in need? Of course, even before you ask. The shepherd knows the sheep is tired and knows that the sheep needs rest. And also know that the sheep lies down when their stomach is full. The sheep does not lie down when the sheep is hungry. That is the characteristic of sheep. So to say that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, God would have provided for your every need. And then you can lie down. And there's a sense of physical, emotional, spiritual sufficiency and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shepherd will check the place. And here, scriptures mention the green pastures spring from the little rain or moisture in the air. And as you know, that in Israel, land of Israel, it's pretty dry. And it's not easy to find green pastures. So whatever the little green pastures that may be there that spring from the little rain or the moisture in the air, the shepherd guides the sheep to lie down there and would have eaten and be blessed and filled. And though it is hard to find these green pastures, the shepherd finds it. And it is fresh, it is gentle, it is green, it is not dry, it's not thorny, it's not harsh, it's not brown, it's green. And David went on further to say that the shepherd leadeth me beside the still waters. Why still waters? Just now we would have heard about some characteristics of the sheep. Does the sheep like rushing water? No, the sheep is scared. The sheep is scared of rushing stream, the white rapids. So still waters, it is very still. Not rushing stream, not white rapids. And so the shepherd will lead the sheep beside the still waters to drink, so that it will not be drowned. To refresh, it will not be afraid. To cool down. That is the picture of the good shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do I lie down myself? No. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What provision, what care, what love of the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Then, in Psalm 23, verse 3, He restoreth my soul. The Good Shepherd restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What is the meaning of He restoreth? It brings back to that better condition. And therefore, there's a sense of sinners being restored to God. We are far away from God. We have rebelled against God. God restores our soul. And the blessed restoration is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul, what does David mean here? We all know that we have two parts. We have the body, we have the soul. There is the physical, and that is the spiritual. So the body is physically nourished and rested, and the soul spiritually repaired, revived, awakened. And who does it? God. He does it. The Good Shepherd. He restoreth my soul. Can I restore my own soul? I can't. He restoreth my soul. And what a blessed God we have. What a blessed Good Shepherd we have. And this Good Shepherd leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Leadeth me has a sense of this path of righteousness, that safe path, that old path, that well-trodden path, that correct, safe path, that biblical path. In other words, it's God's word. It is not about feelings, not about experiences. I dreamt God spoke to me. You know what? God whispered to my ears. Nope. The old path, God's word, the paths of righteousness. By the word of God, that is the path of righteousness. He leadeth me. By his Holy Spirit, giving us understanding and ability to do his will. If we obey, the sheep will also have choices. We choose to obey, and then we will have the blessings and guidance of the Lord, and he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. For what? For our pride? For our own glory? No, for his name's sake. What is the chief goal of man? Westminster Confession of Faith has this answer. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, that shows the purpose of living, the goal of human being. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And therefore, God restores our soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and it is always for his name's sake. It is not for our name's sake, not of pride, but for God's name's sake. So, we are not going after idols made with hands. We are not going after philosophy created by human minds, not after man's perspectives of good and human rights. There's plenty of it in the world now, circling around human rights, good from the perspectives of man. No, but it is his word, God's word. That's the path of righteousness, and it's always for his name's sake, for God's name's sake, for the testimony that God is great. And in our next verse, we see this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This verse, when we understand it with the relationship of a shepherd and a sheep, and we apply it to our present life and even on our deathbed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though has the sense of that when that happens in life's journey. It will happen, people. It will happen. Death is certain. And difficulties in life is certain. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when that happens, not if, it's though. And this personal application, and though I walk, and how do you walk? Do you walk and linger there? Do you circle there in the valley? No, I walk through. You don't walk in the valley, you walk through the valley. And what a comforting thing. And yea, though I walk through, and it's not dwelling there, it is a necessity in the journey of life, and you walk through this valley. This valley, how does this valley look like? It's a ravine, dangerous, vulnerable, with two sides of the tall mountain, strategic for the enemy to attack. It is not a valley of flowers, blooming, beautiful scenery, but what kind of valley? Valley of the shadow of death. Death, that's the monster, and that people who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will be very, very, very worried. What about death? Death is that horrible monster, the enemy. It will kill me. It's real. It's frightening. And better don't talk about it in case it's bad luck. So death, the fear of death grips everyone who's not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fear of death is real, because after death, the judgment. But for that sheep, who is the true sheep of the Good Shepherd, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is a shadow. It is not the real thing. It is the shadow, and it cannot harm us. So I like to quote Spurgeon here. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us not, therefore, be afraid. It is only a shadow. And it will only be a shadow if we are truly the born-again sheep of the Good Shepherd. So that is very important. And David went on to say, "For thou art, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it's written, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You see, God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, therefore, the shadow, the death becomes a shadow. If Jesus goes with me, I will go. And if God is with me, if the Lord is with me, I will fear no evil. My shepherd walks with me. Does the shepherd walk with you? So it is important for us to go back to God's word and to see that we have a very sure word of God. And I'd like to quote from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, it is not if we pass through the waters, it is when thou passest through the waters." It has a similar sense as in Psalm 23. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." What a comfort. "And therefore we will fear no evil. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." What a beautiful assurance from God Almighty, the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So if our Good Shepherd, our Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, could deal with the most fearful evil, that is death, and make the death only as a shadow, he can deal with our challenging trials of life. What kind of challenges do you have in life? That work? That burnout? That studies? That toxic relationship? That tiring caregiving? That financial ruin? That terminal ill health? And then when you say, "I can't take it anymore. Nobody understood me. I can't take it anymore." Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that comforting? To know that God, Almighty God, is our shepherd. He is with you. He makes sure. So very, very important is to make sure you are his sheep. That's very important. Don't leave this room this morning until you are very, very sure you are the sheep of the shepherd. So, David continued to mention, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What does that mean? What is the rod? Rod is used for defense. And the rod is used by the shepherd for defense. And to hit the enemy, and to hit that wild animal, and sometimes to discipline the sheep. And what about the staff? The staff, if the sheep were to go astray, the shepherd can use the staff to bring back the sheep to the right path. So thy rod and thy staff, the Lord's presence, his protection, his discipline, his guidance, that comfort David. The Lord is my shepherd. And how comforting is that? So we can see that if we commit ourselves to the Lord, He cares for us. And His presence and His rod and His staff. And then David, in verse 5, changed the perspectives. From verses 1 to 4, David brings that relationship of the shepherd. In verses 5 and 6, he brings the relationship of the good host and the guest. Thou, the great host, the shepherd host, the God Almighty, He is the host. And let's describe a good host. Some of you would have tried to be a good host at home by giving hospitality. So what are some of the descriptions of a good host? Generous. The Lord is now a generous, kind host. Thou preparest is very intentional, with a purpose. And what is the purpose? To refresh, to nourish, to care. And the table is filled with goodies. Very generous. Isn't it lovely to go to a home where the host said that, I welcome you to come to my home, and then prepared a whole table of goodies. Not one tray, not one plate. It's a table, the table filled with goodness. Very generous. And what else do we see here of the good host? Even though my enemies are still in the presence, the enemies are still there, lurking around. And thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And the Lord gives me such assurance of protection that even in the presence of mine enemies, I'm not worried. I can enjoy the hospitality of my Lord. I can enjoy the food, enjoy the nourishment. Who am I to deserve this hospitality? Do you think that you deserve this hospitality from the great God Almighty? I don't deserve this goodness from the Lord. And therefore we can see it's the Lord's amazing grace, something that we do not deserve. Some good things like this that we do not deserve, but God gives it to us. In addition, the Lord, the good host, the great host, anoints me with oil. What does it mean by anointing me with oil? Welcoming me, refreshing, honor, fragrance. Anointing means taking the oil and anoint on your head so that you will smell good. You will be fragrant. You'll be refreshed. This is how good hospitality is done in those days. It is not the oil to marinate you, to cook you up. It is the oil to anoint you with oil, welcoming, refreshing, honoring you. And my cup runneth over. It's bountiful. More than I deserve. And whenever we find that our cup runneth dry, runneth low, it's filled up again. It's runneth over, bountiful. And all these be done in the presence of mine enemies, even though my enemies are there to harm me. Yet God is with me, and with that, I can have this peaceful enjoyment with my Lord. And what a wonderful communion that will be. And David also mentioned, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. Surely is an assurance out of the promises and character of God. Surely. And this goodness, God is good. Only good. And He's always good. So surely goodness and mercy. I should be punished for my rebellion against God. But he forgives me. He loves me. And how much does God Almighty love us? He took the wages of sin upon himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate love of God. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The host cares for the guest. The shepherd became the lamb and died for the lamb. He took my place to die. He died, he rose again victoriously, and is coming again for me. That is my great good shepherd. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The shepherd became the lamb. What a beautiful illustration and a story. And this fact that God loves us so much. And that goodness and that mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Shall, not may. Hopefully, no, it's shall. It's such assurance. And who am I to deserve this? All the days of my life, both here on earth, right through to heaven. And absent from the body and present with the Lord. And what a comfort that is to each and every true born-again believer, the sheep, the true sheep of the shepherd. Such comfort, such assurance. And how long will I dwell in the house of the Lord? Forever. And that is a great comfort. And what about the death? It has become a shadow. So John 14, verses 1 to 3, we shall understand a little bit about this house. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in God, our Lord Jesus Christ prepares for us many mansions. It's a wow, mansions. No, what it means is prepare for you many dwelling, living spaces, and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what a comfort. Are you the shepherd's sheep? Only you can answer that question. If you were to be the shepherd's sheep, you will hear the shepherd's voice. And we will obey the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd's voice is in the word of God. And that is very important. Do you hear the word of God this morning? And how do you respond? And it's very important that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our true good shepherd. I'd like to show you a video and to say that, and you can see in this video, that the sheep, the true sheep of that shepherd, will not follow any other calls, but it will only follow and respond to the voice of that particular shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. And I'd like you to watch this video, and then we'll come back to Psalm 23 in the conclusion. Put it a bit louder.
One more time.
Oh, one is
louder.
Tika.
Ayoko.
Bumria!
Look at them, look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They are coming.
Matthew 25:33-34. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, that is the sheep, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. John 10:28-30. And I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a blessedness. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our good shepherd. But that's a warning. Matthew 25, verse 41. What about the goats? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting life. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Now the Lord is my good shepherd. Make sure you are his sheep. And that's very important. And if you are the sheep, the born again true sheep of the good shepherd, the promises in Psalm 23 is yours. And what a comfort that would be. I would like to mention three lessons out of the Psalm 23. So that we can all take home the first lesson. Be sure you are a true saved sheep in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very important. Number two, the Lord loves and cares for you as a good shepherd for his sheep. Three, obey the shepherd in the word of God. And if we were to obey the Lord and obey God, we will know that Psalm 23 is for us and it'll be applied to our lives. I'd like to pray. Close your eyes at this moment and meditate on what you have learned today. The Lord is my shepherd. And indeed, I shall not want, I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What a blessedness. He leadeth me beside the still waters. O God who loves us so much. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And for his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, Lord. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And thou, Lord, art the great host. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. If God is for me, who can be against me? Most important, are we in Christ? Are we obeying Him? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall pray this prayer of salvation. And if any one of you believe in your heart, truly, and you think that you are still not a true sheep of the great good shepherd, you pray in your heart, repeat after me in this prayer. And even if you're a believer, you can still pray this prayer as an assurance, as a comfort, and to say that He is my God, the great good shepherd. Let us pray. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was crucified on the cross, buried, and then rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. I repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I confess the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to trust and follow my Lord Jesus. Please help me live a new life that is pleasing unto you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, I give thanks and pray. Amen. And if you have truly believed in what you have prayed, be assured that our good shepherd, our Lord Almighty, the great God, is your shepherd, is your great host, and He will be with you. There was such a person who wrote a beautiful hymn. This person, when he was younger, his mom taught him from the Word of God. His mom showed him through the Bible. And he was a young lad. And before he even reached his teens, his mom passed away. And then he was like a sheep that went astray, and he went into slave trading. And he was despicable. He was horrible until the Lord brought him back to Himself. And he was humiliated. He was like a lost sheep. But our Lord Jesus found him, brought him back, just as the good shepherd would have found one out of the 100 sheep, 99 not lost, one was lost, found him, and he was spiritually blind. He admitted he was a sinner. He was so self-reliant, he rejected God, but now he saw it all. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior, is his Lord. And what amazing grace. And he wrote, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch, a sinner like me. Let us all arise to sing the amazing grace.